So we'll make it.
We will make it
to the end. As you show us your face.
As you show us your face.
Yes, we'll make it.
We'll make it till the end, Lord. We will make it
to the end. As you show us
your face.
Father, we want to thank you for honoring us with your tangible presence. We're grateful. For what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you choose to visit with us? But it has pleased you to do so by your grace and your mercy. And we are grateful. As we go into the word, we ask that this tangible presence go with us. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not depart from this place. And therefore, we beseech you, Father, in your mercy and your kindness and your faithfulness, please, let this presence go with us as we go into the word. I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips. Indeed, I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are physically present here, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy, that I will be faithful as I deliver the word, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, I have a very important message. It is prophetic in the sense that there are things that will be happening in the future, but it is also present truth in the sense that they're parts of the men that are presently being fulfilled as I speak. I've entitled it Job's Wife and Children. In recent times, I've been speaking to my own children about some of the things I'm going to share with you. Before I go into the message, I just want to lay some this thing. I want to thank God for my wife. Praise God. And I want to thank God for my children. All my children. Itunu and Tosin, Dara and William, Muyolua and Joshua Lubi, and the grandchildren too. And my children, by the grace and the mercy of God, are working on these things. There are some of the things I shared with them. They're not where they should be, but they're working on it. They are putting in effort. And by the grace and the mercy of God, God has helped me, my wife and I, to bring them to an understanding of the intense spiritual warfare we are all involved in now. And it really has nothing to do whether you believe it or not. It has nothing to do with whether you want to be in it or you don't want to be in it. You are in it. And that's why I've entitled Job's wife and children. I can put Job's wife slash husband. Because in many families, sadly and regrettably, it is the woman who is doing more of the praying than the man. So it will be like Job's husband. The story of Job is one of the most intriguing stories in the Bible. And I'm going to talk about Job. I'm going to talk about his wife. And I'm going to talk about his children. And how prophetically it mirrors what is happening in many of our homes and our families today. And this is why the prophetic part, what God wants to avoid to happen to us in the days ahead. Many Christians are living in a fool's paradise because they do not understand the times and the seasons in which we're living and the intense spiritual battle that is currently, not something's going to happen, it's now, that is currently taking place in the heavenly places. Job was a great man, blessed by God. And all of a sudden, a spiritual tornado hit his home that they had no understanding of where it came from. Until much later, after great damage had been done to his home. Before I get into the story of Job, I want to give you a prophetic insight into where we are. We are now, as I speak, at the brink of what the Bible calls the manifestational sons of God. There are different symbolisms that I use for this same truth. Another one is the former and the latter rain together. Another one is the spirit without measure. It's all the same thing in different, using different spiritual expressions to speak about the same fact, the same thing that is happening. Many Christians do not understand this. I hear many pastors, because I listen to other people, you know, like I was sharing during the Bible study. You know, God has helped me. I'm not arrogant. By the grace and the mercy of God, I humble myself every day by the grace and the mercy of God. So I've learned to listen. Now, of course, I don't swallow everything. You know, I don't listen to everything. I listen as I'm led by the Spirit. God said, listen to that guy. I said, listen to a little bit of this one. So I listen to people, you know, because I recognize that nobody has a monopoly of the wisdom of God. And you need other people, like I shared during the Bible study. The Bible says that to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, you will not get the fullness of God if you don't know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, and humble yourself to learn from other people. That's the implication of that statement. So, we are on the verge of this outpouring of the Spirit of God that is unprecedented. It's going to be greater than what was in the Acts of the Apostles, according to the scripture. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. You know, it's going to be the former and latter reign together. Everything we have experienced from the day of Pentecost till today is a former reign. All we had in the Azusa Street revival, you know, in 1906 and then in Topeka, Kansas in 1901 first, then Azusa Street, 1906, and then then down through the years, 1948, what is known as the latter rain movement, is all former rain. What was the purpose of the former rain? Soften the ground and plant the seed. And it did its work. get people's hearts. I'm a part of the former rain. You're a part of the former rain. Our hearts were softened. We heard the word of God. The word of God was planted into our hearts. We got born again. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues. We operated the gifts of the Spirit to some degree. We experienced some degree of healing, some degree of prosperity. Thank God for it. But it will not close the age. We need the former and the latter rain together. The latter rain is the teaching that brings the Spirit without measure, that will finish, that will bring in the final harvest of the earth, of the nations. And it's going to be a manifestation of the glory of God, firstly at the level that it was manifested in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself, and then it will go beyond that according to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the works that I do you will do, then you will also do greater works. We are on the verge of that manifestation of, it's going to come suddenly to the church any day now. We really don't know the day and the hour, but we certainly know the time and the season. Hence we speak. Now, with that manifestation is also going to come, and I'm going to preach this in a separate message. I'm not going to mention it today. A universal persecution. It hasn't come yet. This is revealed in Matthew chapter 24, verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know, it stops in verse 14. You know, he says, we will be hated of all nations. I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. We're not going to be hated of a few nations. We're going to be hated of in all nations. That hasn't happened yet. People don't hate us in Nigeria. I mean, some people do, but, you know, it's not universal. A universal persecution. It's not tribulation. We're not going to be here for the tribulation, but we are going to experience a universal persecution, because as a consequence, it's going to be a satanic reaction. It's going to be a satanic, watch this, it's just come to me. It's going to be a satanic counterattack to the manifestation of the sons of God. It's coming. Can take it to the bank. The Lord Jesus said so. He said, you will be hated of all in all nations. I explained this on Wednesday to some degree, and I'll just mention it here. I'm going to get into Job in a minute. And it is this. When you say all nations, all ethnos. Yoruba is an ethnos. The Ibibio is an ethnos. The Efik is an ethnos. The Hausa is an ethnos. The Fulani is an ethnos. The Kanuri is an ethnos. The Igbo is an ethnos. You know, the Shekiri, who just had a new king, who I hear is a Christian. Praise the Lord. We saw some of it yesterday on television. They were using the word of God and worship, you know, in the coronation of the new Olu of Ori. You know, the Shekiri is an ethnos, and so on and so forth. Now, in every ethnos, there will be two sets of people. Those who love the church, us, and those who hate us. And those who hate us will raise persecution against us. Sadly and regrettably, and that's why we're learning all things we're learning now, some may be killed. Now, that's not a very positive thing, but thank God they'll go to heaven. And it's better to be faithful to God and die for what you believe than compromise your faith because of persecution. Our faith must start growing. Hence this kind of message. Not the kind of message everybody likes to hear. You know, to the point where you are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you can say to your detractors, my God is able to deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I'm not going to stop saying what God told me to say. And even if I die, I know I will go to heaven. Your faith must get to the place where you are no longer afraid of death. The Christian that is afraid of death will not enter his destiny, because he will be too scared to move in some places when God tells him to move. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they what? Love not their life. If you still love your life unto death, there are certain places you will never go. There are certain things you will never do because of the fear of what will happen to you. which was Job's problem. We're going to get to Job in a minute. When you get to the place where you begin to perfect, you don't have to be perfect as a person, but you begin to perfect the love of God on a daily basis. You put on, like I said in the Bible study, you put on the whole armor of God. You allow the love of God to come into your spirit every day. More of it into your spirit through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. More of the life of God. Then more of it goes into your mind and will through reading the Bible, as well as confessing the word of God on the love of God. So your mind and your will are full of the life of the love of God. Then more of it into your body by praying in tongues, into your emotions, into your mind, into your circumstances. If you keep practicing that, it will cast out fear. I just got a tweet from heaven. Honey, you know what the Bible says? Not only will it cast out fear, it will keep out fear. You know, fear is everywhere. It's in the air. So if you start perfecting the love of God, if the fear that maybe has tried to be incident in your mind and will, it will push it out. Then if you keep doing it, which is what you should do, consistency, you know what's going to do? It's going to now create a force field around you so that fear cannot even enter. So not only will it cast out fear, it will keep out fear. Glory be to God. The Holy Ghost is really getting ahead of me. I've said a lot of things already that I'm still going to say, you know, so I'll just emphasize them during the message. So persecution is coming. And if you're not strong, you don't learn the thing you should learn. And hence, this is the prophetic part of the message. Job, his wife, and children. Many Christian homes today have a Job's wife or a Job's husband and have a Job's kind of children. They will not be able to survive what is coming if they don't change. That's why I am bringing, I, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me is bringing this prophetic message, because the time is short. Difficult, perilous times are ahead of us. See, the perils we've been experiencing hitherto have been natural perils. Earthquake, pestilence. Now, and that's, will still be there and we'll overcome them. But this one is going to be persecution by human beings. People say they will seek to kill you. It happened in Jesus' ministry. They only killed him because he allowed them at the end. But from day one, when Jesus began to manifest his glory, he manifested his glory in Cana of Galilee. Then he went to his hometown. This is a few weeks later. Where he grew up, where people knew him. His own flesh and blood, so to speak. And they said, is it not Jesus, Yahushua? I'll say it in our language so that, and then I'll translate back into English. Omo Joseph ati Mary ko yen. Carpenter to ba mi se table njo si. Ki lo sa pe wo ri e na? Olohun son of God. Son of God ko. Son of God ni. Se ba mo ma be mo ma me. In our language that means that, is this not Jesus that we know, the son of Joseph and Mary, the carpenter that made this table that is inside my house? What is wrong? What entered his head? Do you know what he said in the synagogue? He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the Messiah. I am the son of God. The boy is crazy. Go and kill him. And you know what they did? They took him by the hand. His own town. It's just like Ibadan here. You grew up in Ibadan. And they send the police. They come and pick you up. And they take you to that wherever. To go and fire his squad. The boy is mad. Kill him! It's persecution. It's not natural disasters now. It's persecution through men. Now, not everybody in Nazareth was like that. There were people who loved Jesus. People who listened to him. But there were the other people who didn't. And they took him to the Browse Hill. and they wanted to throw him. Can you imagine? This is not at the end. This is at the beginning of his ministry. The ministry was less than 6 months. He had just started. But the envy, the angst, the anger that the glory generated caused an immediate satanic counterattack and wanted to stop it before it started. Go and get rid of him now. They took him to the hill. They wanted to throw him down. The Bible says Jesus walked through them. Divine protection. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that whoever is born of God, he said he doesn't sin. He doesn't practice sin. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Those are scriptures we have to be living in. Not just reading. We have to be living in them. Now let's get to Job. Job chapter 1. I've given you the prophetic landscape and background from which I am speaking. I speak specifically now to Job's. Job himself has a problem. Job's wife or husband, depending on, because in some homes, it's the wife who is doing what the husband should be doing spiritually. Sadly, but truly. So you can say Job's wife or Job's husband. And then Job's children. Each one of them had a problem. And we're going to look at the problem each group of people had, and the Bible solution. So by the time we enter this manifestation of the sons of God and the persecution, the satanic counterattack begins to come, you will be able to go through it. If not, there will be serious problems in the days ahead. And it's because God loves us. The Bible said the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. So let's look at Job. I'm going to read certain points. I won't read everything as the Lord leads me. These first six verses or five verses, I'm going to read them. Some of the other ones, I'll just summarize them because, you can always read them yourself. There was a man in the land of Uz. I didn't hear you. Or Uz, whichever you like to call it. Whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. The word perfect there, of course, we know Job was not perfect. We know from the story Job wasn't perfect. What it means is that he was honest, he was upright, he was a good man. That's why the Bible says he was perfect, he was an upright, one that feared God. And eschewed evil. He feared God. He avoided evil. Eschewed means he didn't like evil. He stayed away from it. And there was born unto him 7 sons. Everybody shout it. And 3 daughters. 10 children. One of the saddest stories in the Bible. But thank God at the end was better than the beginning. And we're going to get there in a minute. And his substance also, I didn't hear you. Open your mouth, don't be afraid. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. It means he had a lot of servants, maybe 100. Back in those days, they used to have. A lot of, and slaves, of course, we don't believe in slave trade and all that, but they had, back in those days, it was like that. Some of them were slaves, some of them were just servants that he paid. Some people, good men like Job didn't usually go into slaves. They'll just hire you and then they'll pay you, And so, and a very great household. I didn't hear you. So that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. It means he was the richest. That's what he meant. In terms of substance. In terms of material wealth. Which was listed here. 7,000. That was how material wealth was counted in those days. 7,000. 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she asses. Then a great household. Those who worked his fields. you know, who, because it was an agrarian society. So in those days, they had, you know, fields. They would go and plant, you know, pomegranates. They would plant fruits. They would plant corn. They would plant, you know, barley. They would plant wheat. Then they would reap. Job was a big industrialist. If it was today, he was a, you know, a billionaire in that economy. Now, we begin to see the problem. Verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their house. Everyone his day. Number one, they were not children. These were mature men. They had their own houses. Big problem here. Big problem. And sent and called their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. I want to ask a rhetorical question. Why didn't any of Job's children join him in the early morning offering? What were they doing? They were eating. They were drinking out of the prosperity that God gave their father who was seeking God. Hello, Job's children. You're blessed. You're eating, you're drinking. But your father or your mother is offering up burnt sacrifices and praying. And it does not occur to any of you that what you are eating and what you are drinking is a consequence of the blessing of what your father is doing and what your mother is doing, and you're just continue to eat and drink. Job's children. The church is full of Job's children. And you have to change so that what happened to Job's children will not happen to you. I'm not preaching a negative message. I'm not praying that happened. What happened to Job must not happen to any of us in Jesus' name. But we must understand the genesis and the root of why he came. It's very, very important. I find it extremely instructive that the Holy Spirit had the author of this book to put it down in such graphic terms. He said they were feasting and they were eating and they were drinking. It tells you how God felt about those children. Baba won gbadura. I said it in our language. Their father was praying and fasting. They were eating and drinking. Whose food? Job's food. They thought it was a right. They did not know it was a privilege. They did not understand that it was the spiritual activity of their father that was causing them to be blessed. There is nothing wrong in eating. There is nothing wrong in feasting. There is nothing wrong in drinking. But there is plenty wrong in eating and feasting and not joining your father and your mother in prayer. When I say join them, you don't have to be there physically. But, you know, you are doing the same kind of thing. Why would Job be afraid that his children will curse God in their heart? Because he knew the kind of children they were. They had no regard for God. And we're going to see in a minute, it came from their mother. Job too had a little bit of problem there. I'm going to explain that as I go on. But the attitude of the children was directly came from their mother. And like I said in the message, sometimes it could be the father, you know. So some people, it's mommy who goes to church. It's mommy who fasts. It's mommy who prays. Daddy just reads newspaper. What television? Born again, oh. Spirit filled, but I'm not into all that fanaticism. You know, I'm very busy. I have to do my business. I don't have time. This woman always there, every day, all night, going to church. You know, but you're in trouble, oh. God got your number and sent me to you. Job's wife or Job's husband. Stop it! And take your responsibility. You should not be that woman who is carrying all the weight herself. And you should not be that man who is carrying all the weight himself. That's why you are a helpmate. Job's wife should have been with Job, helping him for this purpose. A man shall leave his father. I find a helpmate for him to help him eat of the tree of life. But she wasn't doing that. You know what she was doing? Enjoying the blessing. Job's the richest man in the east. So, Job's wife had all the nice clothes. Nice perfume, do her hair, enjoy. And that's not wrong. Please get me. I don't preach, you know, legalism. It's not wrong. But it is wrong for her not to be. Why was she not with her husband? Let him do it. Or let her do it. After all, we are enjoying the blessing. It's a sin. Let's move to the next portion. I'm not going to go deep, you know, because of time. Then there was a day the sons of God. This is in heaven now. See, there's a lot going on now in heaven that you don't know because you're on earth. Job didn't know what was happening. His wife didn't know. Of course, the children didn't know. They were partying and eating and drinking. And there was a meeting about their family in heaven. So, the sons of God, angels, including Lucifer, come before God, and we know the story because of time. So, God does a strange thing. You see, because when you don't read the book properly, you get the impression that it was the devil who came to attack Job. Mm-mm. Yes, but it didn't happen in that sequence. It was God who called Satan's attention to Job. It was not Satan who called God's attention to Job. And I'm going to explain to you, before I finish the message, why it was in that order. It was God. God asked Lucifer, the adversary. He said, where are you coming from? He said, I've been going up and down the earth. You know, in the Yoruba, our sister Pidemi and sister our minstrels, there's one song they sing I like. It says, Ashore Kiri, Akiri Shore. In our language, that means that God is the kind of person who goes about doing good, and then he goes about, you know, he just goes about, you know, as she, you know, he goes. Satan is the exact opposite. If it's all on Shore Kiri, Ikalun Shekiri. Akirishore. That's God. But the devil, he does the exact opposite. So God asks him, he says, ah, Ibolotimbo. I'm speaking in our language, I'll translate. Where have you been coming from? Ah, I've been going on the normal thing I do, steal, kill, and destroy. I've been going around the whole earth. So God does a strange thing. Have you considered my servant Job? Ah, why would God call Lucifer's attention? God, Satan did not mention Job at all. It was God. My servant Job, have you considered him? There is none like him in all the earth. Upright, fears God, and eschews evil. Lucifer. No, I told God, I don't want to read because of time. He said, Job, serving you. Why won't he serve you? This is Olubi Johnson to paraphrase. Why won't he serve you? He's not serving you because he loves you. He's serving you because of all the camels, all the she-asses, all the oxen, all the blessing. That's why he's serving you. And, you know, I've tried him, but I cannot enter. This is Olubi's paraphrase, and I'm going to explain why I did paraphrase. I've tried, but, you know, you've put a hedge around him, so I can't penetrate him. But that's why he's serving you. If you will just give me a little space and let me enter and deal with him a little bit, he will curse you to your face. God says a revelation. It's a revelation. You know what it says? It says, behold, he's in your hand. The loophole was already there, Pastor Buiga. But Satan had not seen it. But God had seen it. To preempt Kashele Prekafrenegas. Satan, from finding the loophole himself, God gave him a concession by saying, he's in your hand. And so he now got a second concession, but don't touch him. Had Satan found it himself, without a concession from God, he could have attacked and killed Job. And God would not have been able to do anything about it. We know the rest of the story. See, what is happening in the heavens affects what's happening on the earth. A conversation took place in heaven. Then a tornado hits the earth. The Bible says, and Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And said, and there was a day. I don't want to go into all the murky, horrible details. But in summary, this is what happened. Lightning came from heaven. The camels died, the she-asses died, the oxen died. Then something happened from heaven while his children, when they were eating in their senior brother's house, all 10 of them in one day died. Job! A good man. God's testimony. A perfect man. Upright. Fears God. Eschews evil. The Bible says, and Job cried. Ah, what happened to Job will not happen to you in Jesus' name. That's why I'm preaching this message. Because of the days that are ahead of us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Say, ah! Naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked I will return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It wasn't actually God. See, when you read those things in the Old Testament, always understand. Every time anything the Old Testament, Lord, God did it. Once it is evil, it means God allowed it. It's not God. If God was not the originator. It was Satan, but God allowed it because of the carelessness or the unbelief or the, you know, rebellion of the people. Always understand that when you read the Old Testament. Otherwise, you misunderstand a lot of things. God does not do evil. He only does good. God is light in him. There is no darkness at all. So, Lord giveth, you know, and people quote all of that, you know, religious people. Oh, the Lord giveth, the Lord take care. God does not take away what he gives you. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Give him a clap offering, somebody. No, it's the devil. Though allowed by God through your unbelief or your disobedience or whatever. Anyway, so that happened. Satan goes back to heaven. And God says, where are you coming from? Says, Ashikakakiri. In our language, that means I've been going doing my normal wickedness, stealing, killing, and destroying. I just finished destroying Job's children and destroying his property, destroying everything. Ah. So God now tells him, he said, but you see, my servant Job, he has not cursed me like you said. He's retained his integrity. He has not, you know. I want to show you how bad Satan is. This is the guy. Stop playing games with the devil and get serious in your prayer life. If he, God forbid, it will not happen to you. Don't give him an inch, he will take a mile. And he has no sympathy. Satan is thoroughly wicked. You know what he told God? Skin for skin. One will lament, if you let me touch his body. It's because all that to happen was just his things. If I touch his body, you will. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You will see. So God says, okay. He said, you know, he has not done anything wrong. You let me, I have allowed you to hit him, you know. And now, okay. He said, but you can't kill him. You can afflict his body, but you can't kill him. So Satan goes. Comes to the earth. Then he afflicts him with boils. From the top of his head to throughout his body. Can you imagine how horrible that experience was? But Job, because he knew God, he knew the kind of person God is. He did not dishonor God in his heart. Well, God made me. If God wants to take me away, let him take me away. But I will never be rebellious against God. Can you say that? We have to get there. You must get to the place of Christian life that though he slay me, it was Job who said this. He said, yet will I praise him. I know God was not going to slay, kill me. Do you understand? But if God allows me, like Shikra Kamachika, to be killed, my loyalty to God is intact. Satan, bring anything you like. The clapping was not very good. Hey, Monko Tombo. You don't know what's coming. I'm getting you, I'm toughening you up. I'm getting you ready. You got to be they that are strong, they will do exploits. This end time, we've seen perilous, we've all been seeing coronavirus and all of the corona. These ones are natural disasters. When the persecution comes, you got to be strong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel in the lion's den. It's coming, but we will overcome it. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's why it's prophetic. That's why he will show you things to come and what you need or Israel ought to do so that we can overcome what is coming. So he afflicts Job. This is where Job's wife comes in. Let's go to Job chapter 3. Oh no, is it chapter 2? Yes. Let's read verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. So when Satan, I didn't hear you, fought from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Do you know where Job came from? The richest man. First of all, his children gone. All his property gone. Now his health gone. Just him. Satan is not a good person. Don't play with him. Take your prayer life seriously. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Then said his wife, when the children died and the material things, she kept her peace to some degree. Now that Job has been afflicted in his body, what is inside her heart came out. Let me tell you something. When tribulation and persecution comes, what is really inside you, that's when it will come out. And you can see the kind of woman she is. Then said his wife or slash husband, depending on which side of the fence the person is, doth thou still retain thine integrity? Let me say it in Yoruba. Kotwen. Pray. Judge. Groaning. Life scripture. You know, Baba. Curse God and die. We now see the problem of the children. This woman was the kind of, she was angel. So long as there was blessing and material things, she would go to church, she would do all the, you know, in those days they didn't have church like we do, you know, but she was, her heart was never in it. It was all superficial. So long as the material blessings were coming. When the material blessing stopped and affliction arose, what was really inside her heart came out. Nobody can say you should curse God if that person has not already been cursing God in her own heart. She was in her heart, she was already cursing God. This God, you know, who this my husband has been serving. Look, all my children dead. You know, we've lost all of our wealth. You know, now my husband is sick. You know, and he has been serving this God. What kind of God? Curse him, Job. He had already cursed him. That is why the children were not spiritual. The mother had not imparted anything deep and spiritual to those children. That's why they were eating and feasting. And I'm not wrong in eating and feasting, but they didn't take any cognizance of spiritual things. Those were not important to them. That's the problem of Job's wife. And God gave me this word about Job's wife. I'm going to do Job's wife. I'm going to do, you know, Job, and then we're going to look at the solution and close. You know what she was? She's like Lot's wife. There are three wives in the Bible you don't want to marry. Lot's wife, Potiphar's wife, and Job's wife. Lot's wife and Job's wife have similar characteristics. One word describes them: covetousness. All they care about is material and physical blessing. Lot's wife was so enamored, she was so attached to material things, that even in the face of judgment from God, bringing down brimstone and fire from heaven, and an angel from heaven. I just got a tweet. It's like I'm seeing the vision of what happened that day. Whose house did the angels come to? Lot's house. Was his wife not in? His wife was in. She saw everything. His wife was in. She saw what happened that day. Those men came. Job took them into the... They were angels. He took them into the house. The wife was there. And the men were knocking on the door. They wanted to come in. To come and, you know, commit homosexuality with the men. You know, and Job, you know, begged them and said the children. And they wanted to force their way. Then the angels smote them with blindness. They didn't tell her she was there. A witness. Knowing how evil Sodom and Gomorrah was, knowing God's judgment, she heard everything, all the conversation. The angels were telling Lot that we have come here to destroy the place, but we have to get you guys out. But in spite of all of that, angels held her hand and the husband's hand and the daughters and said, oh yeah, let's go. But she forgot her necklace. We are hearing Danny. Or maybe it was one dress. I'm being, you know, speculative. But you see, the heart was in Sodom. And the material. Why did they leave Abraham in the first place? Go to the root. And Lot lifted up his eyes. If he had a good wife, the wife would have said, your uncle Abraham, who blessed you. If you want to go, you go. I will stay here with Abraham. You know, he will not have gone. You know, there's something my wife talks about, that the wife is the neck. The husband is the head. But the head cannot go except where the neck allows it to go. And it's a lovely illustration. It's true. If Job's wife had said, sorry, Lot's wife had said, eh? It was not Uncle Abraham that took us from all of the Chaldees. Isn't that this Uncle Abraham? And all this time we've been blessed with him. Isn't that Uncle Abraham? Then you want to leave him? You can go. Me and the children, we will stay. My Lord Sodom. You know, Lot would have stayed. That's the influence women have. I'm talking to Job's wives. You can use the influence for good, and you can use the influence for evil. You know, I thank God for my wife. My wife is a good influence on me spiritually. My wife will tell me, pray. Well, you know, I mean, of course I pray. You know, but what I'm trying to say is that when she sees that I want to, she will not encourage it. And that's exactly what I prayed for. I asked God, I said, I want you, that time, you know, I hadn't met my wife. I said, God, I want you to give me a wife like Gloria Copeland. I heard this testimony from Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland said that when he's feeling weak and something, you know, maybe he's attacked with sickness or he's discouraged and he wants to start feeling sorry for himself, it is Gloria who will say, you better stop feeling sorry for yourself because I'm not feeling sorry for you. We got to pray. So I said, God, give me a wife like that. And he did. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Your wife is very important. So, Lot's wife, she looked back. And you know the rest of the story. Job's wife is exactly the same. Covetousness. Uchukukuru. All she cared about was the she, asses, the oxen, the camels, the this, the that, and all the material blessing he brought to her. She didn't care about the God of Job. She could never have cared about the God of Job and say, curse God and die. And she passed that same covetous, carnal attitude to her children. That is why none of the children, 7 boys, 3 girls, adults, all they were doing was partying in the house. Hello, Job's children. So, Job answers her. Can you imagine in his pain, both physical and psychological, this woman, that kind of things she's going to say? He said unto her, I didn't hear, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, Job was feeling bad, but he knew God. God is light, in him is no darkness. He knew that something is amiss here. He didn't know, he couldn't put his finger on it, but he knew that rebelling against God is never the answer. Turn to your neighbor, say, rebelling against God is never the answer. Be getting offended with God is never the answer. Getting bitter with God is never the answer. It's easy to get offended. God, I've been serving you. I've been serving you. I kill oxen every day. I cover for the sin of my children. God, how can you allow this kind of thing? Me, a whole Job. I help the poor. I give to help them. I want to get to Job now. What was Job's problem? I preached this many, many years ago, but it's an expanded version of that message. I'll close soon. This is such an important message, and I'm not going to split it. It's so important. Job's problem was this. And God gave me a New Testament type of Job. I'm going to give it to you in a minute. It's revelation. It's fresh. You know? I mean, I've been preaching these things for years, but this is fresh to me, even to me. Job's problem was this. He was keeping ceremonial and moral law, but he was not keeping spiritual law. That was where the loophole came. I explained to you during the Bible study, you have to say God's word with your mouth. In the Old Testament, they didn't have tongues. Today, we have both confession with the understanding as well as tongues. When you release spiritual forces, it is those spiritual forces that the angels will use to cover you and that they will use to protect you. What happened with Job was that he now put his confidence in the good physical works that he was doing. Job would help the poor and the widow. He would give to people. He was a very good man. Very, very good man. You know? Then he was doing a lot of animal sacrifices. But the word was no longer coming out of his mouth. He was not keeping spiritual law. He was keeping ceremonial law, which is animal sacrifices, and moral law. Then God gave me a New Testament equivalent. He said, that is the Old Testament Job. You know what his name is? The rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing? Observe his words. He's always works oriented. What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him straight. This is so important, we have to go there. Look at Mark chapter 10. Am I helping anybody here? If I'm helping you, give me a wave offering. And then give the Lord a clap offering. Let's read Mark chapter 10. I quote it, but it's so important, I have to read it so that you can see it yourself. So it's not Pastor Lupi who's just, you know, forming something. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running, kneeled to him. Church history tells that this is actually Barnabas. He didn't get born again then he got born again later in the Acts of the Apostles. Church history tells us it's Barnabas, but let's put that aside. And kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do? I didn't hear you. Kilon Shewa Loso, you know. Hey, what's wrong with us this afternoon? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. This is very important because this is the Old Testament Job. Moral law. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, watch this. Watch this. Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. A good man, just like Job. Feared God. Eschewed evil. Jesus, verse 21, I don't know. Talk to me, somebody. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He wasn't lying. He was a good man. Jesus loved him. Jesus knew that what he was saying is true. He was morally upright, like Job. But this man had a problem. Like Job had a problem. And like many of us have a problem. Hence this prophetic message. We're going to see the problem. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, this last phrase is the key. I want to thank God for using my wife to start Good Morning Jesus. The reason is this. It is a platform. Which if you use properly, you can use it wrongly, you can use it properly. But if you use it properly, it will teach you the discipline of taking up the cross daily. I'm getting ahead of myself. See, the cross is not some problem that you have or some sickness. That's religion. The cross is what the Bible says it is. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So every day you need to pray in the Spirit using the blood of Jesus to cleanse your sin, the life of God from the word of God, the declaration of God's word, and then praying in tongues. That's what they do in Good Morning Jesus, basically. Now, when you do that every day, you're like what I was saying during the Bible study, you're putting the life of God into the mind, the will, the emotions, the body, and the physical body and the circumstances. So you are crucifying the flesh. That is the daily cross. Now, that was what Job, even in the old, was not doing. You see, Job was not like Joseph. Remember my message many years ago, Joseph had no Bible. How could Joseph stay pure in impure Egypt? He was keeping spiritual law. He wasn't keeping ceremonial law. In fact, in those days, it was in Egypt. I have another message. I haven't preached it, but it is corollary to Joseph had no Bible. Is Daniel had no temple. Daniel was not doing animal sacrifices. There were no animal sacrifices. There was no temple. He was keeping spiritual law. The Bible says he was praying three times a day. He was speaking God's word. So there was power. It was the power that he was releasing through his mouth. That he, as he prayed three times every day, that the angels could use to protect Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is the vital difference between Job, Daniel, and Joseph. Job was keeping moral law, like the rich young ruler. He was keeping ceremonial law by sacrifice of animals. But he had neglected spiritual law. The rich young ruler was keeping moral law. Don't steal, don't kill, honor your father. He was doing all of that. You know, and I know from experience that there are people who are not born again who don't steal, who don't kill, who don't commit adultery, who honor their father and mother. Yes or no? You can keep moral law by a good heart, an honest heart, and God's mercy and grace from outside will help you. But it's not the same thing as making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And what Jesus wanted from this man was that. He said, take up, come. I didn't hear you. Take up the cross and follow me. The Bible says, And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Like Job. This is the New Testament Job. Good man. But he was not ready to commit to keeping spiritual law, which was what would have happened had he followed Jesus like the other boys. John, Peter, James. He wasn't ready to make that commitment. Watch this. I just got this tweet flick from the Word of God. Watch this. The Bible says he had great possessions. You know what Jesus wanted him to do? Now, this is not true for all of us. It's the principle that is true. He had already had the great possessions. So Jesus wanted to take his confidence away from his possessions to God. Jesus was not trying to get his money away from him. He said, go and give it to the poor. He said, take up your cross and follow me, so that your confidence will no longer be in that possessions. It is in the following me. And if you learn, now this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. If you would follow me, what's going to happen is that you will learn how to trust God, and then gradually I'm going to give you all those things back 100-fold. But he didn't want to take that chance. His confidence was in what he had. So he was not going to trust God to give back to him what he had if he gave it away. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. So, next verse. And his disciples... verse 23. This is so important, that's why I had to read it. And just looked round about. I didn't hear you. And saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Some of the other translations says, you know, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Another translation says, what with difficulty will those who possess wealth keep holding on to it enter the kingdom of God. He was not condemning having wealth. He was condemning putting your confidence in it, which was the problem of the rich young ruler. And look at what Jesus said further on, because of time. You know, he says it's easier for a camel, you know, and all of that. Then they say, who then can be saved? Let's quickly jump to verse 30. Verse 29 and 30. Then Peter began to say to him, Jesus, he said, lo, we have left all and followed you. What the rich young ruler refused to do, we're doing it. And Jesus gives them this promise. This is where the faith guys, Ken Copeland and others, and I'm part of it, and I'm not criticizing it. This is where we get 100-fold return from. It's not Kenneth Copeland's doctrine. It is not Kenneth Hagin's doctrine. It is Jesus' doctrine. It is Jesus who said it. He said, verily, talk somebody. Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. I would say lands. 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 Real estate. I didn't write the Bible. It's Jesus who said this. For my sake and the gospel's, he shall receive 100-fold when he gets to heaven. You see, the error in the faith message, or the overemphasis in some of the people who preach it. And you see, the fathers didn't really preach this. I, Olubi Johnson, listened. Kenneth Copeland sent a whole series of tapes to Brother Emiko when I was working with Brother Emiko, you know, from America. That was my Bible school. There was one particular set of tapes. There was about 12 tapes called the 100-fold principle. It was preached by Kenneth Copeland back in the 1970s, 77, 78, but they put it all together. I chewed that thing. I must have listened to those tapes maybe, you know, I'm not going to exaggerate, probably at least 10, 20 times each tape. I used to listen every day. The first thing Kenneth Copeland would say is this: The hundredfold principle is not just a financial principle. It is a spiritual law. And he said, if you just make it only financial, you will miss it. It is interesting that many of the people who follow these men didn't say that. And that's the truth. Then he also said, from which I got, and I also preached this. He said, it doesn't only come in money. Look at that hundredfold return. Fathers, mothers, husband. Well, not husband. You're not going to get 100 wives. Don't worry about that one. Uncle, the very believe alone for 100 wives. Are you listening to me? No, you're not. Brethren, look at all these pastors. They are part of my hundredfold return. I have, in the natural, I have three natural brothers. One is dead. Two of them are still alive. And my brothers, I have a good relationship with them. But over the years, God has given me hundreds of brothers. It's true. Hundreds of sisters. Hundreds of mothers. Papa Fi, Mommy Dugbe. They are mother and father to my wife and I. We have our natural mother and father, and some of my dad's gone, her dad's gone too, but they were father. It's part of the home. This is what he's talking about. We turn the word of God and twist it upside down. Give God 100 naira, then 100 for Pastor Andrew. 10,000. Amen. In 2 weeks' time, Loda, go to the back now. Ogwefi, tell Rhoda, let her go and sow seed now. Within 3 weeks, you are getting hundredfold. That is a complete misrepresentation of the scripture. It is handling the word of God deceitfully. It is twisting what God Jesus said. Yes, there's a hundredfold return, but it's not, you're not, you, God is not a one-armed bandit. God is not a casino. You go there, I take $10,000. Then you give me $10,000, and then in a few months' time, you're going to get a million. It's a hundredfold return. That's not what Jesus is preaching. He's saying that if you commit to me, and you take up your cross daily, and you follow me in this lifetime, over time, you will get a hundredfold of anything you gave up, including money. But not limited to money. So to limit it to the material is to handle the word of God deceitfully. And I want to say this, the fathers didn't teach that. I learned from the fathers. I learned from Brother Hagen. I learned from Brother Copeland. They didn't teach it. They always taught this balance I'm telling you. But some of the younger people who came after them didn't emphasize that. So don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. I'm going to close soon. How many people are getting something out of this? Give me a wave offering and give the Lord a clap offering. Okay. He shall receive, verse 30, a hundredfold now in this time. Not when you get to heaven. Now in this time. Houses. Everybody say houses. Pastor Cowdy, let me ask you a question. If you have 100 houses, can you in any economy be described as a poor man? 100? Honey, how many houses do you have? Don't answer. Between my wife and I, we maybe have two or three. It's true. Yes, four. Two in England, one, two here. That's all. So I haven't even started reaping my harvest. You cannot have 100 houses and be poor. It's impossible. Prof, Remy is a real estate agent. Remy, can a man in this economy have 100 pieces of land, even in Ibadan or in Lekki
or Abuja, and he disguised as a poor man. Do you see that Jesus has our interest at heart? Give him a clap offering, somebody. 100-fold houses and brethren. But it didn't stop with houses. You see, the problem with the people is that they always preach only the material. Brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now, this particular phrase is a part of the package. You cannot, don't handle the word of God deceitfully. If you want the 100-fold return, you must take the persecutions. Everybody wants 100-fold, but I don't want the persecution. You can't have it. That's what I'm preaching this message. The 100-fold return comes with persecutions. You know why nobody's persecuting you yet? You don't have 100 houses. You are not worth persecuting. I'm being honest. When you begin to get the 100 houses and the 100 lands and the 100 brethren and the 100 mothers and the 100 sisters, the favor of God that begins to come, then you will attract people's attention. Then the persecution will come. So don't worry, persecution is not coming for you yet. Call on Januel. So let me stop there with the rich young. So Job is the Old Testament rich young ruler. His characteristics: morally upright, ceremonially correct, but neglecting of spiritual law. That was what created the loophole. And God saw it before Satan. And now inform Satan and then receive a concession from Satan not to be able to kill Job. Had Satan discovered himself, he would have killed Job. He would have killed him. Now, let's begin to close. I said so many things. Now, I've dealt with Job. No, I've dealt a little bit with Job. I've dealt with Job's wife. I've dealt with Job's children. Their own problem is carnality and covetousness. Let daddy do all the praying. Let mommy, if it's the other direction, if it's Job's husband, let mommy do all the praying. It's mommy that comes for all night. It's mommy that goes to church on Sunday. The day I have time, I will come. The day I don't, stop it! Mommy is the prayer controller. When they have problem, mommy pray. Kilo shenuti, eh? In our language, that means, mommy, pray. So I ask in our language, the rhetorical question, I say, what is wrong with your own mouth? The same mouth that you said mommy should pray with, you to pray with your own mouth. Especially as you have approached maturity. It was okay when you were 10 and 12 and 15, even up to 20. Watch the word of God. Amen. Anything 20 years old and under, you are regarded as it's okay. But once you hit the age of 20, you are responsibility now comes on your shoulders, and then it becomes more severe when you hit 30. Mommy's prayer and daddy's prayer will only cover for so much. Wake up and stop feasting on your father's blessings. I have a strong word for Job's children in the church. And the church is full of Job's children. Full of Job's wives or husbands. The many, many houses and families is one or just two people that are carrying all the load spiritually. All the others are just enjoying the blessing. It's often mommy, keep mommy pray. Timon batik badragon is a problem. Now, tell mommy to pray. Once mommy prays, there'll be no problem. Or tell daddy to pray. Daddy will pray. You know, daddy, pray. I need this. I need that. I always, you know, my wife and I, we always crack a joke with our children. You know, mommy pray. I say, you seem prayer contractor. You do pray. You know, my children pray. They pray. Don't you know? So we laugh about it. I say, you need to pray. Children, join your parents. Stop letting daddy and mommy alone carry all the load. You do pray. You do fast. I just got another word, honey. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. You should be praying more than your daddy and your mommy. I got another word. When daddy is tired and goes to sleep, the young man Joshua shall sit in the tabernacle. When your daddy and your mommy are tired and they go and sleep, you who is 20, 25, 30 years old, you should be the one say, daddy, go and sleep. We'll take it over from here. Stop this nonsense. It can kill. Notice I didn't say it will kill, because I don't want to say any prophetic wrong destiny. This spiritual carelessness can kill. It killed Job's children. Don't let it kill you. I'm not done yet. You can sit down. Now, let's deal with the answer as I close. Three scriptures. Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. I don't know. People say, Job, I don't understand the book of Job. You're not reading with revelation knowledge. It's a very simple book. If you are honest and you don't have your own preconceived ideas. Job chapter 38, we see the problem. God nailed it. Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Between Job chapter 2 and chapter 8, it's been Job and his friends who have been talking. You know what Job said? Oh, I helped the poor. Oh, I did this. I was eyes to the blind. I was parading all his physical good works, which were not wrong. But that, without spiritual law, and operating spiritual law, those things will not stand in the sight of Satan. Ask Job. It's very interesting, Pastor Andrew, that Daniel did not have as many good works as Job. Daniel had good works. But you know, he was in a foreign land. How many poor people was Daniel helping? How many, you know, Daniel was in a, he was in a cocooned environment. He was serving Nebuchadnezzar as the prime minister. He hardly went out to mix with the population. He didn't have good works, but he had great works. Spiritual law. Daniel, a man greatly beloved. The man controlled empires. And he shuffled emperors like you shuffle cards. He moved from Nebuchadnezzar to Belteshazzar, from Belteshazzar to Darius, from Darius to Cyrus, and got Israel. He moved an entire empire to fulfill prophetic scripture. That is greatness. Are good works important? Yes. My wife and I are philanthropists. We have Olubilisi Ajansan Foundation, help people build schools. We do all of that. But that's not going to stop me from praying. I'm not going to say, oh, God, look, I helped this widow. I gave this one scholarship. I did this, you know. I neglect spiritual law. Those good works cannot cover me. Are you listening to me? Job answered, the Lord answered Job out of the world and said, next verse. Who is this? Look, this is a rebuke. Who is this? Kashele prikito fredenga toko fredesk. That darketh counsel by words without knowledge. Job lacked revelation knowledge, spiritual knowledge. He had knowledge of God and God's character, but he didn't have deeper knowledge of the operation of spiritual law. And that was the problem. Get up now! thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee. Answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He began to ask him deep spiritual questions. I'm not going to go into all of that. You see, God is a good God. And he doesn't do evil. Evil came as a consequence of Job's lack of knowledge. I can never forget Kenneth E. Hagin. Give Papa Hagin a clap offering. He's in heaven. I heard a tape years ago. It was 1998. I was still in England. I used to order those tapes from America, you know, and come to my room, then I'll play them. You know, I can never, it's still ringing in my spirit. My people! Not the devil's people! My people! Perish! For a lack of knowledge. It's still ringing in my spirit. That is he, quote, he was quoting Hosea, chapter 4. God, till today, is still happening. Millions of Christians, God's people, they are perishing for a lack of revelation knowledge. Lack of knowledge of spiritual law. Lack of knowledge of spiritual forces and their interplay. I just sent something to the pastors and Mommy Sarah by Derek Prince. Spiritual forces determine people's destiny. It's an interplay. Let me explain. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, is operating from the heavenlies. He releases spiritual forces into the air. Those spiritual forces impinge upon the mind, the will, the emotional, and the physical body. And they now generate lust, desires inconsistent with the will of God, the desire for sex, the desire for food, the desire for pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It comes through from the air onto the sin nature that is inside. Those forces, they are there. They are in play 24/7. Now, you are supposed to be praying. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Speak God's word. Pray in tongues. So that you are counteracting those spiritual forces by another set of spiritual forces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. The intensity, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What determines what happens in your life is an interplay between those spiritual forces. The degree to which you are releasing God's forces and the degree to which Satan is releasing his forces. If you don't pray well enough, if you pray but you don't pray effectually, if you pray but you don't pray fervently, then what is coming from the outside through the flesh will dominate what is going on the inside, and the flesh prevails. If you pray effectually and fervently and frequently, as instructed by the scripture, you know, every 6 hours, when you get up, when you go down, when you walk by the road, when you sit in your house, and so on, at noon, at midnight, at evening, at cockcrow. If you do it the way God said to do it, with the frequency and the effectiveness, and what you are releasing overcomes, then what is the will of God is going to be in manifestation. It all depends on you. That is the truth. That's what happened with Job. The interplay of spiritual forces. And God had taught him. Job knew the word. He knew. I'm going to show you in a minute. Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. And we close, I think, with verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we're almost done. Woo! Am I helping anybody here? If I am, give the Lord a clap offering. Job chapter 42. And let's read verses 1 to 6. Then we're going to jump to verse 10 and I'll close. And then Job answered the Lord. You know, I don't know. People don't read their Bible. They read the part they like. And they have this selective amnesia. Forget the part I don't want to remember. Stop it. Be honest. Read the whole book. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know. I didn't hear you. That thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? He's talking about himself. Therefore, I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I would say lack of knowledge. that's where the problem came from. I know people say, you know, this is because Jesus, Job feared. But fear came because of a lack of knowledge. Because perfect love casts out fear. So without the knowledge of perfect love and allowing it to flow through his system, you know, into his soul, body, through the confession of God's word, fear was able to enter, and that was how the devil entered. Which I knew not. Here, verse 4. Here, Job is talking to God. I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He had revelation. Wherefore, watch this, I abhor myself. Job, good man. All our righteousness is like filthy. See, don't depend on the good things you do. They are important in their place. Be a blessing to people, but don't put your confidence in them. Put your confidence in the blood of Jesus. Put your confidence in the word of God. Put your confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. At least my wife is on my side. The others may not be on my side, but my wife is on her, and that's okay. Me and mommy are a majority. Amen. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I what? Repent in dust. And you don't repent unless you are doing something wrong. So, you see, when people read the book of Job, they are always looking for moral sin. And now the mistake Job and his friends made. Ah, Job, this kind of thing cannot happen to you. Which girl did you start sleeping with? What of these your mates? Maybe you've been telling her to come to the room in the secret and nobody has heard. Or did you steal something from somebody? That's what they thought. Everybody thought that Job's problem came from moral failure. And Job told them, he said, no, I've not done anything wrong. He said, I didn't think upon a maid. He said, if I was looking at another man's wife, he said, let the another person grind on my own wife. It's all in the book, you know, go and read the book of Job. You know, that whole, you know, discourse from Job chapter 2 to Job chapter 38 and then 40, this 42 I'm reading, was full of, I did this, I did that, I did that. And then his friends said, stop telling lies. Makuro. Don't tell lies. God can never allow bad to happen to people except they did something wrong. You must have done something wrong. And that's why what's happening to you is happening to you. And Job said, God sees my heart. I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't steal, I didn't kill, I didn't commit adultery. Job missed it. His friends missed it. Only God got it. The problem was not moral law. It was spiritual. So, chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall, everybody scream the word pray. Offering is one thing, prayer is another. You see, the ceremonial love is one thing I just got another text. Listen to me, brethren, it's in my book, Practical Guide to Prayer. I wrote it in 1988. Tithing is not just putting the money inside the bucket. That's a physical ceremonial act. Do you understand? To tithe, you put money and then you have to open your mouth. And because that is a spiritual law. And say, my father was a Syrian ready to perish. And you delivered me and you have not brought me into this land. Therefore, I have brought my tithe as a token of my appreciation to you. Therefore, bless me, your servant, now. You have to say it. It's not enough just take the money and put it. It's not enough just to kill the animal as a sacrifice. You must do that in the Old Testament and then operate the spiritual law by putting the word of God in your mouth. That was what Job neglected. And he shall pray for thee, for you, For him I will accept.
God is a good God. I find this very, very interesting. Look at what he said. Lest I deal with you. God is talking to you. God is a nice person. You know, they missed it. He said, lest I deal with you according to your folly. In that you have not spoken of me that thing which is right like my son. You know what? They said that God was the one who was punishing Job because Job had committed some moral sin, which was not true. But Job kept saying, God is God. I don't understand, you know, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the whateverite, went and did according to the as the Lord commanded, and the Lord also accepted Job. Now, verse 10 is a critical verse in the book of Job. Critical. Everybody read it along with me. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. Turn to your neighbor and say, when will God turn your captivity? When you pray. And gave him twice as much as he had before. Stand to your feet. When will God turn your captivity? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing stand in prayer. There is no shortcut, folks. If you don't operate spiritual law and the word of God, both in understanding as well as in the spirit, is not coming out of your mouth, you don't give God material with which to work. And that gives Satan a space to enter your space. That's the problem. So, Job's wife, Job's husbands, Job's children's, please change. Start operating spiritual law like your daddy or your mommy, you know, so that you will not give Satan an opening to be able to come into your lives and wreak havoc, particularly with the persecution that is coming. So that you will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, the fire will come, but you will not. You will survive it. You just won't even survive it. You will be victorious over it. It will not burn you. You won't smell of smoke. Am I talking to anybody here? You will overcome every tribulation. It will come. It's coming. But you will overcome it. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Don't be a Job's wife or a Job's husband. Don't be a Job's child. The first, God gave him other children. I'm sure he gave him another wife. Because that woman, I'm sure she was too old. Because Job had to have another set of children. Twice. That woman, her true colors came out. Talk to God.
As we're talking to the Lord, I just want to say a word. The Bible calls God the judge of the whole earth.
Yes, we'll always do right.
Who will always do right. That is who he is. The judge of all the whole earth. Who will always do right. We don't need to look too far. There's already judgment that has started upon the nations. And I used to crack a joke with Yemisi. But seriously. Because, you know, please sit down. Give me a few minutes. Because there is nobody who sometimes will not physically feel tired. Waking up every, say like about 4 a.m. every morning. Before that, praying till about 7:30. Or even 4 to 6. Or even 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Let's face it.
Yes.
But I used to tell Yemisi something. I said I heard from my mom when she was alive. You know? She used to say it in Yoruba. I would say it in Yoruba and I say it in English. Onda. Miwaju adajo. What that means is when someone is in the lockout and the person's case is appearing before the judge, have you ever seen a person in his normal sense sleeping in front of the judge who is deciding his judgment and his destiny the very, very moment, the very, very hour? Do you need to wake the person up and say, yeah, Missy said, Mommy is serious. Money is serious. Money sometimes, when it's 3:30 a.m. and I have to always open my portal. Even when I was in 2 time zones, that meant when it's 4 here, it's like 11 a.m. 11 p.m. On the East Coast. And I must still be grandma. I still must relate with the children. The children, it's none of their business. Grandma is here. Grandma must play with them. Grandma must read Bible stories to them. Grandma must have fun. This grandma that they haven't seen, I still must be grandma. I tried to sleep a bit. But I say, you know, that is not possible because, you know, it's still day. It's not the usual thing. I said, but when the body wants to roll like this, I will just remember, oh, Danny, what you are doing? My eyes will just go open. Quick! Please ask people who are my 1 hour. I was still opening my portal throughout. And I would say, Carol, welcome. God bless you. How was your night? It's to the glory of the Lord, though. I did not come to tell you because I want to show off. No way. What is there to show off in there? I want to tell you that it is a real thing. Sometimes I'll tell you, I say, you know, sometimes it's not only you that has a problem to struggle out of bed. But what keeps me getting out of that bed is that Onda Niwaju Adajo, the judge of the whole earth, is judging the nations. See, he has brought the nations to the courtroom. He has rounded up and we have sinned. The intercessors are standing with them, with the nations, and we are crying, his kingdom come. Where is his sleep? See, yesterday I was somewhere, I said, look, oh God, you are so good to Nigeria. Where they are shutting down, some of us are not even wearing masks. We don't even know anything going on in the world. Is it not the mercy of the Lord?
And we have not had
as much vaccination. Is it not the mercy of the Lord? So the next time, now, you have some friends. Hey, why is this is self-inflicted issue? Why do you have to wake up all this? You're old, you know? You're old. You can't keep this up all the time, you know? It's just not sustainable. It's not sustainable. Every day you wake up at 3:30 and then you play right to 3:30. I don't think it's sustainable. It's not sustainable. Thank you. For me, it is my life. I will not speak on you, but then no. I'll just say to myself, Oruda. God bless you. Have a great day.
Stand to your feet. That is the daily cross. And that's the reason why a lot of people don't want to. That is the straight and the narrow way. Getting up early, because it takes time to pray effectively in the spirit. You have to go to work. So which time do you have? It has to cut into your sleep time. That's why you get up 4-5 o'clock in the morning to pray. That's it's not the waking up that is the cross. It is the operation of the spirit that you do when you wake up that is the cross. That you now, through the spirit, you mortify the, and that's why people don't do it.
and try and look for ways to explain it away and all of that. That's the cross. That's what Jesus meant. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Let's talk to God. Remember Job, his mistake. You may be a good man like Job or the rich young ruler, but it's not enough. Take up your cross and follow him. You must add that to your good work. The good works are very important. My wife and I have a lot of good works to the glory of God, and we're doing more. I help people, I help the poor. That's good. Please, I'm not saying that's not important. It's important, but it cannot substitute for spiritual law. So you do not have a loophole Satan can exploit like he did for Job. He almost killed Job. It was the mercy of God that saved Job's life. If Satan had discovered that loophole himself, he'd have killed him. Because Job was a threat to Satan on the earth. Once you are a righteous person, you become a threat to Satan. And he'll do everything he can to get rid of you. Wake up. You are the peace that guards my heart.
You are the peace that guards my heart.
It's a great song.
My help in time of need.
Sing it, sisters.
You are the hope.
You are the hope that leads me on. Yes.
And brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting. And here
I find relief.
So with all my heart I worship.
And unto you.
Father, we worship you.
and we adore you.
Adore
Father, we
long
to see your face.
Lord,
you alone.
Lord,
you alone.
Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy. We receive your mercy and your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power, insufficient measure, as we pray. Father, oh, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, you look out for us. You show us things to come so that in the coming persecution, what happened to Job, his wife, and his children will not happen to us, our wives and our children. God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. Mercy not to be destroyed. Mercy to be faithful. Mercy not to be discouraged. To take up my cross daily. To daily apply spiritual law, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, clean with the blood, load with the word, fire by the spirit, in the early hours of the morning, and then frequently throughout the day, so that mercy and grace will keep me in these perilous times. That what happened to Job will not happen to me. Father, I thank you for good works, and I'll continue to do them and increase. I will help the poor. I will not steal. I will not commit adultery. I will not covet. I will honor my father and my mother. I will continue to do these things, but I know it's not enough according to your word. In addition to that, I will daily take up my cross and imitate you in the fear of God, in effectual fervent prayer, with strong crying and supplications, in speaking your word on love, praying in the spirit every day by your grace and mercy, so that I will have a force field of life and power around me and my sphere of influence that Satan will not be able to penetrate. I stand on the covenant of your word. By your mercy and by your grace, I will keep covenant by your mercy. I will keep your word, the word of love, the word of life. It will not depart from my mouth. Day and night, when I sit down, when I wake up, when I walk by the way, when I lie down, according to your word, I will keep covenant by your mercy. And your word tells me in Isaiah 59 that as for me, they that keep covenant with me, he said, my spirit that is upon thee and my word that is in your mouth will not depart from my mouth and from upon me. It will not depart from the mouth and upon my children. It will not depart from the mouth and upon my grandchildren in these perilous times. You will contend with the devil that is contending against me, and you will save my children. I receive this. I stand on this covenant, and I know you, the covenant keeping God who watches over his word to perform it, you will perform this on my behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray in the spirit. Mercy, Lord. Fredica tosque fredelesc. Jelic to fridinger to fredesc. Lo predica to fredesc. L'ombre delesc. L'ombre dic to fredesc. Non gara dolomashiko. Mercy, Father. La pricetolom tolom to fredesc. Lord Jesus, thank you. La pricetolom to fredesc. Lord Holy Spirit, do cordolom to fredesc. Thank you for your blood, jele predolosc. For your life, rekitu frining. Your power, jelica rodofre. In our soul, la pricetolom to fredengara. In our bodies, la pricetolom tolom to fredesc. In our circumstances, in our regional heavenlies, in Jesus' name. If you're in need of healing, just touch your body. You know, if it's your mind and you're in need of deliverance, it can be depression, oppression, fear, doubt. Just put your hand on your forehead. If it's your body, put your hand. Father, I come against every spirit of infirmity in the physical bodies of the people that are touching their bodies and their heads at this time. I cast you out, destroy your works, and bind you in Jesus' name. I loose the angels of God with the seven spirits of God. I release the healing virtue, healing power that is in the life of God, that is in the air, into their physical bodies to effect a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of depression. I cast you out, destroy your works, and I bind you in Jesus' name. Now just say, I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Mommy, come. We're going to close the service. Then after that, the choir will minister. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. I said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, you keep spiritual law. You are not like Job. And what happened to Job will not happen to you. The word of God will keep you. And the wicked one will not touch you. Even in these perilous times. And your household in these perilous times. In Jesus' name, amen.